Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It's hour two. I hope your life is great. Ours certainly is. No grievance here. Live in L.A., it's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. It is great to have you here. What a weekend. Went to Vegas, hung out with my son. I watched wrestling. I went to Manny Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
Everywhere this weekend. Unbelievable.
Lots of good Instagram content.
Oh, very good.
I was living the life.
Hey, and I lived hard this weekend. I took no shortcuts.
Breakfast in Vegas is a very crucial meal. You're not a big breakfast person.
No.
But that's why I really believe in breakfast. Because if you eat breakfast, even if you have a busy day, at least you had, you know, one solid meal.
What if I drank breakfast?
You can do that too. They do have giant Bloody Marys with lots of extras on them. It can actually be a meal.
So it's, summer's winding down, but we still have a little summer.
Yes.
We have about 12 more days, and then the football, once Labor Day hits.
Yeah, it's over.
I put on my working hat and my working clothes.
No pull more ourselves up by our bootstraps.
So this weekend's a lot of screwing off. For the next 10 days, I'm still not all in. You know what I mean? I'm kind of, but not all in. Let's go. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Sub. They have a new mushroom grilled portobello Swiss. Oh, it's great. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, Josh McDaniel, Patriots coordinator, said yesterday Cam Newton is starting quarterback for the Patriots. By the way, he was 8 of 9 last week. The only miss was a drop pass. He has spent a majority of the time with the first team. Now, right now, he's going to be away from the team because of a COVID situation. I don't think he's a vaccinated guy. Does that change it? I don't know. But Josh McDaniel said this week, Cam is the starter. And I've said for all summer long, this is what I believe. This team is good enough to be a playoff team. I don't think you inject a rookie into this division right now.
Where Colin was wrong.
Zach Wilson, whoo, he's the highest rated rookie quarterback. Now, again, he has not played a snap against the starting defense, right? So it is what it is, but I have to be fair. I thought he was going into the worst situation. I thought he would struggle. I thought he was too much Johnny Manziel. He's Johnny Manziel with a better arm is how I see it. But I got to be fair now. This weekend, starting offense, two TDs and a field goal. We know he's got a good arm. That's not the question, but he's been very nimble. He's also looked very calm. He's looked very poised, more so than I thought, so I have to admit I'm wrong on that.
Where Colin was right.
Dak Prescott, according to Adam Schefter, will be bothered by injuries all year. This is what I led my Friday show with. Aikman, Irvin, Adam Schefter, all saying something, I believe sources. The reality is, if you start looking at people tied to this organization, they've all got skepticism on what the Cowboys are saying, which is nothing to see here. It's all fantastic. But he threw 52 passes before the Atlanta game the other night. No deep ball. So it's something. We'll see. And for the record, this is a very quarterback-dependent team. I work for Fox. I want the Cowboys to be entertaining. I'm rooting for them to be healthy. I don't love having to talk about this story.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have been a bigger Jimmy Garoppolo fan than most of you have been. But I will admit, yesterday he looked bad. And I think between the injuries and between drafting Trey Lance, it's in his head a little bit. There's no excuse that Zach Wilson looks as good as he does walking into this league. And Jimmy Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan and this group. I mean, by the way, they're playing some starters here. Brandon Ayuk's out there. He just doesn't look good. He looks rattled. He looks rushed. And whatever it is, there's no excuse for rookie quarterbacks looking better and more poised than Jimmy Garoppolo, who got to a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Where Colin was right.
Tim Tebow was the first Jacksonville Jaguar cut. Hopefully this is the last time I have to talk about him. When Tim Tebow got signed to the 90-man roster, what was my number one issue? How is he going to block? Because he's not going to make it as a vertical tight end. He's going to have to be a blocking tight end. Does he understand that quarterbacks can't leave the league for 8 years, come back and block? Well, the video, which made the internet pretty quickly, illustrated his number one issue was not catching the ball. He can't block. That's what a fourth tight end is on an NFL team. Sometimes you're like a lead fullback. You're a blocker. He's a quarterback. He can't block. We were right.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, Tua has had maybe as good a preseason as any quarterback. His coach said he's surgical and methodical. 16 of 23 Saturday, 180-some yards, 107 passer rating. I have told you I have my doubts. I think he looks small. I think the play has to be perfectly designed. He showed a little athleticism here, which I like. Again, rooting for him. But I have to be honest. I've been critical of Tua. I think he's a great kid. But I don't see the magic everybody else sees. But he was, well, whatever you want to label it, may not be magical. He was very good again, this time against Atlanta.
Where Colin was right.
I've said for years, Aaron Rodgers, when the rest of you guys were going crazy, he's the GOAT. I said he doesn't have Brady's leadership. He doesn't have Russell Wilson's leadership. Last week, he comes out and not only admits, it's 50-50 if I was going to play. You would never hear Peyton Manning say that. You'd never hear Brady say that. You'd never hear any great leader say, I kind of want to play. I'm not sure I'll figure it out. He also admitted, now this doesn't drive me nuts because I do think in the summer a quarterback's going to do what they want. But all I see all summer on Russell Wilson is video working out. Aaron Rodgers told us this.
If they offered you the job, would you have taken it?
Yeah, I definitely would have. I mean, if they would have figured out a way to work it, make it work with my schedule, yeah, for sure.
This is a side comment, by the way. You ever notice with Aaron Rodgers, he always wants to tell you how much he doesn't need stuff? I don't need football. I don't need family. I don't need that teammate. When people are constantly telling me they don't need things, it's called projecting. Aaron's got to stop telling us how much he doesn't need football. It's shrinking his market. I want to get somebody, if I'm Denver, that needs football. I kind of like it. It's kind of a turn-on. My guy loves football.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had a blast this weekend. I did an event for my new podcast company at WWE SummerSlam, and I went. Sat right next to Bill Simmons. I had an absolute blast. By the way, that had it right in front of me. That happened right in front of me. Charlotte Flair. It was unbelievable. I know I used to mock you wrestling fans. I called some of you booger eaters, and some of you may still be, but I will be honest. I got to be honest with you. The production of this thing, the electricity, 48,000. Can you buy season tickets to WWE?
It's one of the best live experiences.
Oh, it's crazy.
That you can have.
I went to the Pacquiao fight 5 minutes later after this thing. Wasn't even close to it. And it was a great fight. By the way, great fight. The energy in that building was amazing. Congratulations to the queen who I almost made cry last week.
Where Colin was right.
I said before the season, I thought the Dodgers potentially had the best baseball roster, and I'm not a baseball seamhead guy, best baseball roster in 20 years. Now, they lost yesterday, but they've won 10 of 11 and 13 of 15. They're the hottest team in baseball, and here's what's remarkable. They've done it without Mookie Betts, who's been hurt, without Corey Seager most of the season, Corey Bellinger's hurt and having a terrible year, Clayton Kershaw's out. Five of their eight best players are hurt, out, or struggling. And yet, since the All-Star break, their team ERA is .89. Max Scherzer's 3-0. This is a roster that's the best in baseball. They added Max Scherzer, who's virtually unhittable since he became a Dodger, and Trey Turner. There's a reason they had a sellout crowd yesterday of 54,000. This is the best baseball roster in 20 years, top to bottom. I mean, I could argue Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer are the two best pitchers on any given day in baseball. They have both of them. Mookie Betts is the best player when he's healthy on any given day. They've got him. Trey Turner wasn't even needed, and he's an all-star. They have his position covered. They've won 10 of 11, 13 of 15, with injuries everywhere. Starting pitching now is all hurt, outside of Buehler and Max Scherzer. All right, good stuff. How the Giants lead that division is inexplicable. If you look at the Giants roster, unless you're a diehard baseball fan, outside of Buster Posey, who are these guys? It's like weird. The Giants have just got a magical thing going. They're winning games without a lot of stars, but it's good to have you in. Nice weekend. Joy was in Pittsburgh with the fam. I was hanging out with my son a little bit in the pool yesterday. But Manny Pacquiao, been an unbelievable career.
Great fight.
It was a great fight. But you know what? It's time. He should now be a politician full time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it was like, I watched that fight and I'm like, he was outclassed. Like, that's the first time, and I've been to 6 Manny Pacquiao fights. It's the first time I walked away. I sat 2 seats from his wife, humble brag. And by the way, his wife turns her head all the time.
Like, yeah, I almost feel bad when they show her.
A lot of nerves.
I couldn't do that.
I sat in the Manny Pacquiao seats, and it's time. It's been the Pac-Man is an all-timer, but everybody, like Michael Jordan played for the Wizards. I didn't like it. Because it was like, Michael, you don't need the money. Like, stop this.
Well, you like to see legends go out.
Elway.
So they're not all going to leave on top, but leave on your own terms.
Jeter, Elway, perfect. Kobe scores 60. Seacrest out. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, I watched Manny Pacquiao and I thought, it's time. It's been a great career.
But it felt like the end.
They're like 80 fights or something. It's time to go.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Wednesday night on FS1, the MLS All-Star Game takes center stage as Carlos Vela, Chicharito, and Raul Ruidíaz lead Major League Soccer's biggest stars against the best of Liga MX. The action kicks off Wednesday at 9 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
I'll be watching. Oh, by the way, it's a time for story time with Uncle Colin. So my sister had never been in New York City, and I was working for the other company. I was in New York City. And when I would go to New York City, I would stay at a hotel on the West 57th called The London. They had a workout facility there. It's so I would go there about 3 times a year. I'd always see a celebrity. Every single time. It was just so random. So my sister shows up in New York, JFK, takes some car over, shows up. She goes, I want to see a celebrity in New York. I said, well, you know, you're with your brother. What else do you need? So I said, we may not see a celebrity. This is not, I can't help you on this, but I think we will. And my sister just, she doesn't leave her house much. She lives in Washington State on the coast. So she's literally in the London, in the bar. We're going to have a glass of wine together. And she goes, I got to go to my room. I forgot someone, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. She walks out. Dan Marino walks in 30 seconds later, and James Hatfield from Metallica. They stay for about 5 minutes. They walk out. She walks right in. And I said, Dan Marino is here and James Hatfield from Metallica. She goes, well, where did they go? I said, I have no idea. Where'd you go? You said you were going to be gone for like a minute. You were gone for like 7, and you just missed 2 celebrities. Whole weekend, we never saw another one. And so this is a story not about my life. It's about Dan Marino. Dan Marino is... listed at 6'4.5". He's bigger than that because I'm 6'2", and he was way taller than me. And Dan Marino's as talented a quarterback, including John Elway and Andrew Luck, as I've ever seen out of college. He started for 4 years at Pitt. Dan Marino was everything. He was 6'5", good-looking, perfect build, 238, huge arm, silly release. This weekend, I read stories, people comparing Zach Wilson to Dan Marino. Timeout. Stop. Dan Marino is a 4-year starter. Beat everybody. Zach Wilson's a good kid. He's 19-9 at BYU. Couldn't beat Utah twice. So the betting lines for... I understand Bears fans and Jet fans. They want a quarterback. I get the frenzy. But some of you media people in New York are ridiculous. Have you all become Fireman Ed? This is preseason. Nobody's playing starters. And that's always been the case, right? You only got starters for like 2 series. Now nobody plays them at all except New England. So it's like, you know what hasn't changed? The line in Vegas. They're still 4-point underdogs to lousy Carolina. 5-11 Carolina is favored by 4 over the Jets. The line hasn't changed. The over-under on the Jets is 6.5. That hasn't changed. Slow down. This is a last place team. It's a last place roster. In a division with unbelievable coaching, Brian Flores, Belichick, Sean McDermott, we got Robert Saleh. Could be good. Who knows? I don't know if he's going to be good. I know Flores is. I know that. Flores is as good as any young coach, including Sean McVay. I know McDermott is. I know Belichick is. So, you know, it's people are going nuts on this stuff. I understand wanting it to be true. But I always check the betting markets. Remember when we had the presidential, the Democrats were trying to find a candidate. So you had Trump. And the Democrats were trying to find a candidate. every 2 months, the Democrats would fall in love with another candidate. It was Mayor Pete. It's Beto O'Rourke. It's AOC. It's a, you know what the betting markets always had? Yeah, Joe Biden's going to win. Don't listen to the media. Media is, I'm not a member of the media, despite what you think. I'm not really, I'm barely credentialed. I am America's honesty broker, and that will end the discussion right there. The media gets hyper, they hyperventilate, they get overly emotional, and they're falling in love with, Joe Biden was the betting favorite. Every 2 months, this person's on Vanity Fair, this person's on Esquire, this person's on, Joe Biden, boring. Even Trump called him sleepy. Sleepy had a name for him. It's like, let's slow down. Stop hyperventilating on all this stuff. This is preseason stuff. I think Zach Wilson has good feet and a good arm. We knew that. And I think what's happening is Bears fan and Jets fan, New York and Chicago, great sports cities. The fans are so desperate to finally have a quarterback. Chicago and New York have had everything, right? Like everything. The Jets, since Joe Namath, haven't had a star at quarterback. They are so desperate. Richard Todd was talented. Chad Pennington was solid, but I mean a star. Namath. Chicago wants a star. They want their Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I get Chicago and the Jet fans going nuts. But the media, 6.5 wins, 4-point dog. And oh, by the way, your linebacker, your best linebacker got hurt today. Your best pass rusher, free agent out for the year. According to the Jets coach, the left tackle is overweight, struggling in camp. Worst roster in the division. So let's just stop the Dan Marino stuff. Like, stop. It's insane. By the way, Greg Cosell came on last week. He likes Zach Wilson. He likes him, but he said, let's slow down a little bit.
Something that he will have to become good at, which he was not good at in college, and that's playing in a muddied pocket. Because normally when that happens, his efficiency decreases. That's what his college tape showed. He wasn't under duress a lot in college, but when he was, his game suffered. He has light, quick feet on his drop and his set. He's got a live, loose arm. He has an easy delivery, so there'll be a lot of boot action. He'll be good at that because of his feet and his ability to throw effectively on the run. He's an easy thrower on the move.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen, by the way. He's very comfortable moving and throwing. He's very good at that. And there's no argument here. He is an athlete, and he's got a really lively arm. But you start bringing up Marino, like, that's got, you got to be, you just don't understand how good Dan Marino was. You have no idea. Athletes are getting bigger, right? Dan Marino came into the league, and he was 6'5", 240. We look at guys like that now, and it's no big deal. He was a monster physically. He was like pre-Big Ben. He was just, Dan looked, you could just YouTube Dan Marino highlights. It doesn't even look like the other guys. It was smoother than Elway. And Elway's and all, it was smoother than Elway. Jonathan Vilma, 10 years in the NFL, three-time Pro Bowler, now a Fox Sports broadcaster and a Super Bowl champ, joining us live. I'm done ranting. I don't want you fans to think I don't like these players. I do. But people are crazy. So it's funny about this. We were talking about this as a staff, Jonathan, is that when you played in the game, starters would play a series or two, and then you were off. But now, the joint scrimmages, people are using those almost more than games. So a lot of teams aren't using any starters. So let me ask you, what am I supposed to take with young quarterbacks crushing it in preseason now? I feel like it's all like an optical illusion.
No, you hit it on the head, Colin. You don't take anything from it. You look and you say, all right, he's got a live arm. He can move around. He looks pretty accurate. But you're never going to know until it's game one, game two, bullets are live, starters are playing. And so you just hope that right now he's making good decisions. And, you know, let's also not forget there's no pressure on him as far as, oh, I have to be a starter, or if I don't play well, I'm going to get cut, right? So he's just out there just playing. Or I say he, referring to Zach Wilson, as you went on your 10-minute rant about him, it's easy right now. You know, he can't do any wrong. And if he threw a few interceptions, people say, oh, he's a rookie. He throws touchdowns, oh, he's great. So, you know, that level of or lack of pressure that he has right now and that level of performance, yeah, it's going to be real easy right now. I don't take any stock in any of it right now.
Let me ask you about the Saints. Their streak of four straight division titles feels like it could come to an end. They had to cut salary. They've shown an ability to win without Drew Brees. But I'll tell you, I don't look at them the same today as I did 2 to 3 years ago. You know, you're a former Saints great. How do you look at their roster and their chances this year?
I do look at them with the same amount of, I'll say, enthusiasm as prior years, because you still have an offensive line that's great. Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk. You still have Alvin Kamara in the backfield, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the game. Defensively, you're solid. Except for up front, you're looking at DeMario Davis at linebacker. Malcolm Jenkins still does well. Cameron Jordan still performs well. So they have all the makings to assemble a really good team around either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. And then it's about going out there for Jameis or for Taysom and don't screw it up. Like, frankly, that's as simple as that, right? Don't force the issue. Don't screw it up. Don't have a bunch of turnovers. It's okay winning games 17-10. Sean may not like that. He calls himself a, you know, offensive guru. But at the end of the day, you're winning games. That's all that matters. And until they get more comfortable, that's the style of football that they're going to have to play, where it's a reliance on the offensive line, reliance on Kamara, reliance on the defense, and then let the quarterbacks or quarterback, if they only go with one the whole season, let that person get into a groove.
Jonathan, when Cam Newton was going to be the starter, and now he's going to miss 5 practices because of a mess up with the COVID situation. Belichick is a very no-nonsense guy. I can look at this and think, last year he got COVID. This year there's a disruption with COVID. Do you think it's enough of a headache for Belichick that he just says, I'm just going to go with Mac Jones. I'm over this stuff. Or do you think he'll be more sympathetic to Cam and keep starting him?
Yeah, I think we as the media, we're making it bigger than what it is. The end of the day, the most important is that Cam Newton has been playing well and been practicing well. And because of that, Bill Belichick is saying, I'm going with what I see on the practice field. I'm going with what I see in the games. And so he's made no bones about it. He is in Bill Belichick. That Cam is a starter going into week 1. Yeah, there's some misunderstanding. Who knows what happened? But I think the media, because of Cam and what we know him to be, and we try to kind of make more out of it than what it really is. You know, I actually equated to Odell Beckham when he was with the Giants, and there was always something going on with Odell Beckham. And I'll never forget when I was on one of the talk shows with the other network, Odell Beckham was in Cleveland. He'd really done nothing until he decided to wear a watch. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, my God, Odell, he's wearing a watch. And, oh, my goodness, you know, that's just such a distraction. And I'm like, guys, it's a watch. It's not a distraction. The only reason we're even talking about it is because it's Odell, and we've heard of all the things and the antics from before, so we're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, I equate that to what Cam is going through right now. Look, he's played well, practiced well. He hasn't been late. He hasn't had poor practices. He hasn't thrown 5 interceptions. Look at him right now in these highlights. He's getting in and out of the pocket. So, look, I don't see this as an issue. I doubt Bill Belichick is going to say, all right, I'm going to start the rookie, possibly lose games because of this rookie, because Cam Newton had some sort of issue with COVID.
Hey, the Bears quarterback competition is interesting because the fans are all in on Justin Fields. And Justin, to me, he's played 2 years of college, so he's got big boy reps. He played in the Big Ten. He's played in big games, gone on the road, 90,000 people. It's not like, you know, some of these guys come out and they, you know, I mean, Kyler Murray, I like, but he was a 1 year starter. Like, that's not a lot of reps. So Justin Fields, to me, is NFL ready. Trevor Lawrence is NFL ready. But I can make an argument for a game to start. I get the Andy Dalton argument. If you had to choose, would you just like rip the Band-Aid off and just go, I'm going with a kid? How would you massage, Jonathan, this quarterback situation with the Bears?
I would go with Andy Dalton. I would go with Andy Dalton because Justin Fields, as physically gifted as he is, he doesn't have the experience that Andy Dalton has. And I'm talking about every time I went against a rookie quarterback. Matter of fact, Cam Newton, for example, we said, all right, we're going to confuse him mentally, which is going to slow him down physically. So we started throwing coverages. We would roll our safeties. We would have a guy line up on the line of scrimmage, just a look that he hadn't seen in film before. just to make him stop and say, "What is? I don't remember this. I didn't see that on film. What is that?" So now, when the ball is hiked, he gets the ball. He has to think about what is the defense before he can even figure out his reads and where to go with the football. Every time we did that to a rookie quarterback, they all of a sudden start one second, 2 seconds too long with that football, and then we get after them. And when you get after them, all of a sudden they start getting hit. We've heard all the quarterbacks say it. Sam Darnold said he's seeing ghosts, and you know there was 13 men out there. That goes for every rookie. Ask Peyton Manning when he first started. 3-13 that year looked horrible. No one would have thought that he was going to bounce back from that. So I always look at these rookie quarterbacks and say, as much as we like their physical attributes and what they're doing in preseason, regular season is a completely different animal. And if you get the heebie-jeebies early and often because you got out there too soon, it's tough sledding to get back from that and bounce back from that. So I would take the Ben Roethlisberger approach, Aaron Rodgers approach. These guys sat, they saw another quarterback in front of them, and then they performed well when it was their time. Ben Roethlisberger, not so much. He had the running game for him, and I remember playing against him, but especially the Aaron Rodgers approach. I thought that was really good, and Chicago should do the same thing.
Good stuff. Jonathan Vilma, Fox Sports. Hope you had a great weekend. The Saints Hall of Famer, inducted a few years back. Love having you on the team, and good seeing you again.
Thanks, Colin. Good talking with you.
By the way, it is funny how many retired players, Schlereth, Jonathan Vilma, they're all Dalton. They're all like, just be careful. I was talking to Dave Wannstedt, our friend from, you know, Pittsburgh, your friend, right? And he goes, it is really easy to confuse young quarterbacks, no matter how good they are. He said, it's just, as a defensive coordinator, it's way easier. Brady's manipulating you. You are manipulating even gifted rookie quarterbacks. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we all love new, you know.
Yeah, of course.
We all love shiny and exciting.
New stuff is fun.
And it's hard in the media.
Yeah.
To not get excited about stuff. Yeah, and certainly fans. Like, fans are allowed to be as excited as they want to.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So Tua, speaking of all that, is showing growth as he gets ready for his second NFL season. He played the entire first half of the Dolphins' preseason win over the Falcons on Saturday.
Got a lot of snaps.
Looked really good.
A lot of snaps.
He completed 16 of 23 passes for 183 yards and a touchdown with no interceptions. I thought he looked really confident. He was throwing the ball well.
Yeah.
Even moved around a little bit. We're showing now.
I like a little zigzaggy running thing there.
Look, again, we just discussed, we just said it. Like, the regular season is different than the preseason. Now, Tua obviously is not a rookie, so we're not evaluating him the same way that we're evaluating everyone else. I expected Tua to be better this year. He's in the system for another year. He's had an actual preseason this year.
And when I watched this, my takeaway in Miami is you cannot call them a rebuilding team anymore. They're not. They've got too many good players. I watch them, I'm like, they've had two drafts, two free agency periods with a great GM and a great coach. They could probably use another top offensive lineman. So could the world.
Right.
I don't think you can call them a rebuilding team anymore. I'm going to give you two drafts and two free agency periods. But if you have people as good as Greer, their GM, and Flores, when I watch them now in preseason, they're not rebuilding. That's a playoff team. That is not a rebuilding team.
That's why, similar to the situation, well, for different reasons with the Jets, but that's why I don't think if Tua doesn't take a big step up this year that there's going to be a lot of patience for him, because they're not a rebuilding team anymore. Like, they are assembled now.
Like, you can't use that excuse anymore.
Assembled. This is a team. This is a real team, a real coach, playmakers. A real GM. Playmakers. Whole sides of the ball are set. Defense, like, you have to go out there and perform.
Best corner in the league.
I think that they will. I do think Tua will be better this year. And that's all you can really ask from him. Like, are they a playoff team? They could be, depending on how things go with the Patriots and how, you know, people are healthy throughout the season. They're not going to win the division, though. So what do you expect to see from Tua this year? Like, this is, everyone's talking about, okay, like, he was coming off of a major injury last year. Obviously, we know that. Yeah. So we don't know what he's going to be, but I do think that they are going to be better and he's going to be better. And having a full off season is beneficial to a lot of guys. They didn't have that last year.
Yeah.
So Ben Roethlisberger got his first preseason snaps over the weekends.
Pretty good.
Against the Lions. This was his first game under the team's new system under offensive coordinator Matt Canada. I thought he looked great.
Yep, he did.
And Mike Tomlin was very pleased with Big Ben's performance.
You know, I thought he did a nice job. I thought we got what we wanted to get accomplished, get him familiar with administering the offense in the in-stadium like circumstance. I thought he did a great job of communicating. He made good and fluid decisions, and we were able to move the ball.
The best. Just the best.
Quote in the history of the world.
It's the best.
Should be a politician. Mike Tomlin for governor of Pennsylvania.
He was 8 for 10, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
He looked good. He looked nimble.
He just looked healthy and quick.
He did.
And I think you, if you're a Steelers fan, you got to be excited about what you saw in that preseason game.
The hardest thing for me right now is there's a lot of good coaches. I mean, I got Pittsburgh at 8-9, and I watch them. I know it's preseason, but I'm like, man, when you start reading off the names, you're like, they got ballers.
And Najee Harris looks good, too.
He'll be good. Running backs can always play as rookies, but I start watching Pittsburgh, and I'm like, are they the third best team in this division? Because if they are, this division's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, that division, they had 3 playoff teams last year.
Cleveland looks fantastic. And again, backups, but Cleveland... I mean, I'm telling you, man, we do not have very many bad teams in this league anymore. We do not. Like, we obviously know. Philadelphia, Houston, not great. Detroit, regrettable. That's about it. Everybody else can play that I've seen. Jacksonville tonight, I'll take a look at that.
I really wasn't sure what to expect from Ben, but...
He
looked good.
You can say what you want about Zach Wilson. We know watching Zach Wilson, good feet, good arm. We know watching Ben, he looks in better shape.
Yeah.
He does.
No, he does. He does. So just 3 weeks after having a procedure on his foot, Carson Wentz is back on the practice field.
Boom.
He rejoined the team today and will be a limited participant. Left guard Quentin Nelson, who has been out with the same foot injury, is back on a limited basis as well.
Wentz was great, I was told.
Is that what you were told?
I was told it's very strong performance.
Both players were originally given 5 to 12 weeks as a timeline to return. What do you know? Modern medicine. It works.
Wait, are you sure? I have a friend on my Reddit board who said...
Well, the Colts season opener, September 12th against the Seahawks. Wentz says he's optimistic that he'll be able to play week one. Center Ryan Kelly is also back as a limited participant in practice. He's been out with an elbow injury since July 30th. So
God.
Working their way back, but...
Cannot wait to watch the Colts. I'm so jacked.
You know, I'm really excited about this because it was such disappointing news that the two of them were injured. It was like, you just felt like the season's over, and like, we were really excited to see what Carson Wentz was going to be, at least I was, really excited to see what he was going to be able to do with the Colts, because we saw what Phillip Rivers did with them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we all agree Carson Wentz isn't a little bit better at this point than Phillip Rivers. Like, he just retired. I'm really glad that they're able to come back, or at least if they're not back week one, they're optimistic, and I like their backup quarterback situation. They've done well throughout the preseason.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They say good things come to those who wait. The 2021 Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. Takes no time to set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Go to mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, you know, it is kind of comical. We're talking about all these quarterbacks just having great preseasons, and I'm like, slow down. But the same can be said of criticism. Jamar Chase, wide receiver, LSU, wildly talented, has really struggled for Cincinnati. He struggled in games. He struggled in practices. Don't make too much of that. So don't go crazy with Zach Wilson. Don't go crazy with Jamar Chase. And I'll just give you a personal experience. So I've been doing this thing, talking into a microphone, for 30 years. That's what I do for a living. I talk to myself. I talk to myself this morning driving to work. I talk to myself all day. I go for runs. I talk to myself. I'm good at talking to myself. Now, thankfully, Joy is here, which makes it even easier, because she probably does that too, but would never admit it. Because that's weird for a woman. It's just who I am, right?
I definitely talk to myself
all
day.
So we talk for a living.
Yeah.
I've said this before. The first 6 months I was at ESPN, and the first 6 weeks I was at Fox, I was just disoriented. I didn't know how to get to work. Where are the bathrooms? Different people putting my IFB in. I've been doing this 30 years. I've been on television for 20. I've been doing radio for 30. And every time I take a job, I'm just bailing water for 6 weeks. I get out of my habit, out of my routine. Where's my coffee shop? Where's my exit? Where's my driveway? Where's the bathrooms? Where's my boss? Where's the... There are certain things when I host this show, I look at certain things. I'm looking for cues verbally. I've got, you know, my cough button. I can talk to directors. Takes time to learn new people. I got a new set. I got new... Ja'Marr Chase is just coming into the league. He's over his skis. He's overthinking it. When you drop passes as a receiver, you're not dropping passes, which he never did in college, because you can't catch. You're thinking. What route? Tom Brady talks about this all the time. You ever notice the Patriots were terrible at drafting wide receivers? Part of it is that Brady was so damn demanding. Like, Tom's not waiting for you to catch up to him. I'm the GOAT. You need to be ready. And multiple coaches had said Belichick got frustrated drafting receivers with Tom because that's why they'd go out and get Welker, get Moss, get Dante Stallworth. They wanted guys who were in the league because it was hard enough figuring out Tom and the system, and then add to the fact you've never played pro football. So when I see all this Justin Fields stuff, I got to start this guy. The Andy Dalton thing. Andy has been in the game, has seen the coverages, has seen the adjustments. We all know it's Justin Fields' team eventually. But when I look at all this stuff and I'm like, does everybody understand that you cannot take the preseason games very seriously anymore? Three things have happened. Number one, the Sean McVay effect. 3 or 4 years ago, he didn't play any starters, and they went 8-0 to start the season. The next year, a lot of the coaches stopped playing starters. Secondly, the league has added another game. What does that mean? Coaches are like, it's hard enough to keep my guys healthy for 16. A lot of these coaches are now, forget it. If you're going to add a game in the back end, I'm not playing anybody in preseason. Third, because of that, coaches are now taking the joint practices very seriously. I watched the Giants and the Browns, and the joint practices were bigger than the game. So you've got a lot of things working here, and so these players are seeing not only vanilla schemes, they've seen those forever. You're not getting any starters. Zach Wilson's yet to face a starting defensive unit. So Andy Dalton has seen the coverages, has been around. Even game day. Can you imagine being a rookie? It's game day. You don't play on Saturdays. Now you play on Sunday. It's an NFL stadium. So I think Andy Dalton should be the starter. Matt Nagy talked about it.
The stock of Andy for us is going to be something for us is seeing what he does during the season. You know, that's how we got to be able to see what can Andy do during the season with this team and with these guys. That has been our plan this whole entire time. We also understand where we're at and how what the true plan is. And all we can do is ask Justin to keep playing, and he's doing it, and Andy to keep playing, and Nick to keep playing.
I mean, they're booing Andy Dalton on the field when he comes in. But I would just say to all of this stuff, anybody listening to this show, have you ever taken a new job? Aren't you lost? In fact, somebody who I trust, who's a former high-end athlete, has a great connection to the Bears. And so I sometimes rely on him for Bears information because he's really connected. I know Matt Nagy, but I'm not as connected. And so this former high-end athlete said, when Justin Fields got to the Bears, he was absolutely lost for 2 weeks. And the coaches were like, wow. And then about week three, it's like, oh, you could see it. And then like week four, it was like, oh, okay, we got our guy. So just in the and that's just practice. He was lost at practice for 2 weeks. Then there was a week that he was starting to get it. And then he got it at practice. We still have a ways to go till he gets it in the game. So now, if you're of the belief, and Joy believes this more than I do, but this is a real belief, like just go with the young guy because you're not a Super Bowl team anyway. There's an argument to be made there. That part I don't have a problem with. Like Tua last year, just give him the team. You're in a rebuilding because a coach isn't going to get. But Matt Nagy is in a different situation. They have to win games. So and there's an argument that not even an argument. There's a belief that Matt Nagy and the organization said Andy, because Andy could have had more than one job because he wasn't terrible with the Cowboys last year. They promised him the starting job. So when you make a promise to somebody, you got to keep a promise. So remember, Andy Dalton was not the disaster many people have framed him to be last year in Dallas. He was not, as we told you last week. His numbers in his last seven games were better than Russell Wilson. They were even with like Matt Ryan and Derek Carr. So Andy Dalton had choices. He had places he could go, and he chose Chicago. One of the reasons was he didn't want to sit on the bench. Because in Dallas, he's just a bench guy, right? He got a break to play. So take a deep breath. It's hard. It's hard for everybody. It's new. Don't crush Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati, and don't turn these preseason games into Dan Marino. Wolf and Shepherd, dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Join the pack. The crossover is business meets athletic shoe. I'm wearing a pair today. Go to wolfandshepherd.com. Wolfandshepherd.com. Hour 3 in LA next.